Welcome to the Badass Confidence Coach Podcast, where I'm your personal trainer for your mind. I am Anna Marcoline, therapist, life coach, and 20-year triathlete. At 55 years old, I've been there and done that, evolving into a successful entrepreneur along the way while being a mom of five. This show is for high-achieving women and men ready to step into their full potential. If you're craving confidence, success, and ready to break through your barriers, you're in the right place. Unlike therapy, which I love, by the way, we're all about action here. Join me as we dive deep into the struggles that we all face. Loneliness, mindset battles, anxiety, and more. Plus, I'll be joined by special guests and my husband, Tim, adding a personal touch to our conversations. Welcome. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, Tim and I are talking about recognizing detrimental behavior patterns in our own lives. And we're really learning how to recognize detrimental behavior patterns. And when we start to do this work, we will see an increase in our mental and our emotional lives, the health of our mental and our emotional lives. So I wanted to do an episode about this because this is something that comes up quite a bit in my clients and our work together. And something happened specifically, a few months back in a session with a client. And it was such a great session in the work that this person is doing and learning to sort of unlearn her behavior patterns. And this is someone who I've been working with now. She has the gift of having worked with me for, I think we're on year three. So she's done a lot of work on herself, a lot. And she's really unearthing. She's psychologically minded and she's really curious about her own self. So we're really unearthing a lot of ways of thinking, behavior patterns, and she's making changes. And she went through a really difficult time about 8-9 months ago with a person in her life. And now there is a new person in her life. And this is the gift of being with someone that you feel psychologically safe with. I think it is the gift of long-term therapy or coaching because I get to know my people so well. And I can say things to them that I think that many of my clients or even myself in my own life, right? We couldn't hear it from anybody else in our lives. We couldn't hear it. We wouldn't want to hear it from like a friend or a family member, but my therapist and my coach can say those things to me. And so I get the privilege and the honor of being that person in my clients' lives. And it's only because I know her so well and it was so much work together. I noticed she was going into another relationship and repeating the patterns that she had just been doing in 1 9 months earlier that really broke her heart. And we said at the time, she said to me, actually, if you see this, point it out to me. And I said, I will, I will. And it just happened where she was speaking about this relationship and it's a, seems at this point, it's a really lovely relationship. It's going well. And it's not even really about the relationship. It's really about her and how she operates within relationships, how she operates actually within romantic relationships. And it was this moment she said something in a session and it's like a light bulb went off inside of me and I saw it. I'm like, here it is. Here it is. It's showing up again. You're doing it again. But she would not have seen it. I don't know if she would have seen it.
She might have seen it down the road.
We didn't want that.
It would have been too late.
But we didn't want that. Okay. Yes. Because she had just been very much hurt.
Yeah.
And she didn't want that pain again. She wanted to nip it in the bud. And of course, and I want that for her. I don't want her to ever go through what she went through ever, ever, ever again in her lifetime. So I said, the light bulb went off in me and I said, you're repeating a pattern. You're repeating the pattern of that other relationship. And she just kind of looked at me, didn't say much. I think she just was taking it in because I sort of abruptly said it as it hit me. And then we went on, the session was ending, and it was probably, we probably only had like 5 or 8 minutes left. And then she texted me later in the week and said, thank you so much for that. I've been thinking about it. I know, I'm sure she is thinking about it, mulling it over. But my job is to point out what I see. My job is to be the objective observer of your life. And like I said, that is the gift of long-term therapy and long-term coaching, because I get to know them so well. And I haven't, you know, we will continue to have this conversation around what comes up for her and how she can continue to make these changes. Because as you all know, whether you're watching this on YouTube or you're listening on audio on a podcast, this is hard, hard work. So I'm starting off the example of this client because that's what really got me thinking that I want to have this conversation on here. But you can do this work on your own. It's hard work. And this is like the doing a little bit more of a deep dive into the world of, and you can do this with a therapist, and you can even do this with a coach too. And this isn't really trauma. This is behavior patterns. They're just icky, not good behavior patterns that many of us engage in. So that's why it doesn't need to be a therapist. You can see a coach around this, but you need them to be able to listen and to pay attention and to do the work with you of understanding how you operate in the world, how you behave. They need to understand that and to keep that filed away in their minds so that in the future, in sessions it comes up, they can point it out to you. And the good clinicians out there, they're doing that.
Yeah.
So
go ahead. Are you suggesting that it's exclusive to a professional client relationship where these conversations happen every time, or could it also be a family member having really,
so that's what I was going to get into. Yeah.
Deep conversation with another family member about something they observe.
I think it's ideal to do it with a professional if you can.
Yeah.
If you can, if you have the money, because it costs money, or maybe you have somebody that you want to see who is covered by insurance, wonderful. Or like, I'm an out-of-network therapist, so my clients pay me out of pocket and then I give them super bill. And so all of my clients, if they're interested, my therapy clients, now I'm speaking specifically about therapy, if they're interested in getting reimbursed, they will submit and their insurance will reimburse them. Some insurances will reimburse like 10 bucks. It's terrible. And some insurances will reimburse like a lot, like 140, 160 bucks for a session, which is really incredible. But it depends on your contract with your insurer. Now, coaching is not covered at all by insurance. Coaching is not under the medical model. There's no diagnosis. We don't give diagnoses to coaching clients. The reason why you get covered by insurance and we give you super bill, and I tell my clients this, you have to meet criteria for a clinical diagnosis. You have to have an anxiety disorder. You have to have a mood disorder, a major depressive disorder, an adjustment disorder. Now, many people don't like the term disorder. That's how it still works in this country. If you want to get reimbursed for your for therapy, we have to give you an Axis One diagnosis. Some people do not want that on their insurance because they care about privacy and they don't want anyone, anywhere, any eyes to see any diagnosis. Those are people who tend to be more government, federal workers, and they don't, who have security clearances. They don't want any mental health. And unfortunately, there still is a stigma around it. But I do see it from time to time. People, it's like, yeah, I'm paying out of pocket because I don't want a diagnosis. But I do also tell my therapy clients, you have to meet criteria for a diagnosis. I'm not going to lie, because I'm not going to do that and give you a diagnosis when you don't have a diagnosis. Right. That's, to me, is an ethical problem. And that's a bigger issue. We've mentioned it on here on the podcast before, but I'm not going down that road. So, you know, many people, what they really need is coaching, but they want to use therapy. And I get it. I totally get that. I empathize with that, to pay for it because they want some help paying for it, but they really need coaching. So for today, what we're talking about, behavior change and looking at patterns in your life, you can do that with a therapist and or a coach. So I'll put that out there to you. So you all think about, you know, what you want to do, if you want to do this work, what you can afford. And maybe you do have an anxiety disorder. Maybe you do deal with, you know, a dystymia, which is a depressive disorder. Maybe you do, you know, deal with some other diagnoses I haven't mentioned here, then by all means, you're using your insurance and do this work.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you, and I get it. The value is you're working with a professional and they've got knowledge and a lot of education and years of experience and all of that stuff. And that's all amazing.
And they're a third person objective. They're not your family member or friend. And we can see things that people in your family and friends can't see. Cause I'm not in your life.
Well, and I would also hear it differently from a professional versus how I hear it from a family or a friend, right? 100% every time.
So you need to have psychological safety. That's the two words that I want all of you to take away from this episode today is you must have psychological safety. It's similar to when I talked about doing blind spot work. You know, this is the same. If you want people to be able to, in the moment, say, hey, you know, I notice that you're, every time you get stressed out or you get in a fight with Sally or you get into a big fight with Joe, you have a disagreement, I kind of notice that, like, You eat a lot, you know, you're like, you're binging. Why you're binging, you know, that's somebody, that's you calling out and do it in a loving way, find a way to call somebody out, but do it in a gentle and loving way, speak the truth in love. But I think it's important. You're doing a service to that family member, that friend, or maybe, you know, maybe it is your friend and you like, and you notice like every time, like you mention like, you go to McDonald's drive-through and you talk about like, you know, I just ate a whole bag of Cheez-Its last night and it's kind of funny and you kind of laugh about it. But I kind of noticed that like you say that whenever you and Sally got in a huge fight.
Yeah. And it does bother you.
And you kind of joke, but I don't know if it really is very funny for you.
Yeah.
That's you as a good friend or maybe a sister or a brother pointing out a behavior pattern in your loved one. And it helps to hear that. We don't always like to hear it, but it helps to hear it. Oh, yeah, I do that. Because we know we're doing it. We just kind of keep it on the down low with ourselves.
Right.
Like we know, like, I don't need you to tell me, but we kind of do need to be told because it lives in our subconscious. It lives below the surface. Like, yeah, I know that every time, like, I get really stressed out about school and all that I have to manage, I will like run 7 days a week and it's not healthy for me to run 7 days a week, 5 to 6 miles. And, you know, I usually log, you know, 20 miles a week and then I start to go 35, 40. You're going to get hurt. And the people, your friends, the girls, the guys who live in your dorm, your husband, your wife, they're going to notice like when you get stressed out and you have a big presentation, you run like every day and it doesn't look healthy. And I can tell by how you are. You're exhausted and that's how you're coping, but maybe you need to find another way of coping. The people in your life are observing you and they're watching you, right? Like
and they might bring it to your attention, but then it's on you then to decide like, well, what am I going to do with
that? Of course it is.
Information. And maybe I'm going to go find a professional to talk to about that because that's the way I'm going to be able to handle and deal with it.
Right. I mean, and I think about the running because having worked in eating disorders for so many years, decades ago, that was something that I would see. And that's very, and I'm being very specific right now, but I would see, you know, when people would get stressed out in their lives, one of their coping mechanisms was to just go kind of compulsively run, or bike, or you know, just it saw a lot with running or swimming. And it was a way of dealing with the stress in their lives. And the family members who knew about the eating disorder, maybe it was in remission or they were recovered from it. Okay, we're seeing that this old behavior, which we call maladaptive coping mechanism, coping pattern, it's rearing its ugly head and you're doing it again. Do you see it? You're doing it again. That really helps when people tell us that, because sometimes, like I said, like we see it, but we kind of don't see it. It's like, la, 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 like, I don't want to hear, I don't want to see, I don't want to know. Just want to go back to doing this because it feels good. Why do we do the things we do? It feels good. It feels good to run. It feels good to be sleeping with a new person. I feel a warm body in my bed with me. I feel loved and nurtured. And I love that. even though, you know, not all the people, partners in our life are the best people for us, that, you know, why do I go to the bad guys? I mean, this is something, it's a familiar trope, right? In books and on daytime talk shows and, you know, in soap operas and in, you know, Sex and the City shows. Like, you know, why do women like the bad guy? You know, or, you know, why do we like, you know, whatever, the bad girl or the bad boy? You know, like, why do we go after those people? Because what does it do for us? How does it make us feel on the inside? But then 4 months later, how do you feel? And your family members and your friends, and even maybe your work family, they see it. They're watching it happen. Like, here she goes again. Her, he goes again. They're doing it again.
Right.
And it's hard to tell them because they're like giddy happy right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think so in the world of like coaching, like in my world of coaching, and I'm thinking like an athlete that has like a bad habit in the way they perform some type of exercise, like that maybe their swimming technique or their running technique or whatever, and they can hear about it, right? Somebody can casually mention, or they can even think like, ooh, I wish I could be faster, stronger, whatever, more streamlined. I know I need to fix it, but I just don't know what to do with that.
Right.
But then when a coach points it out,
there you go.
All of a sudden it's like a different conversation.
Exactly.
And then if a coach points it out and then shows you a video of what you're doing and you're like, oh, wow.
That's a great metaphor, Tim. That's a great metaphor because you're right, because you're swimming a certain way. And I know you talk about it all the time. I've watched you because I've been in your masters and your triathlon swim groups before. But I hear you talking about it. And you show me videos of people like, you know, I know for me, I think I swim a certain way and I'm in the water. My face is in the water. I'm swimming like, you know, the front crawl or what's the other name?
Freestyle.
And then you are on the deck and you're like, do you know that your elbow is doing this and you're doing this with your fingers? And you're talking to me about my stroke. I'm like, no, I'm not. Like, yeah, you are. This is what you look like. And I'm like, oh, not really. I don't. Okay. I kind of believe you. Then you get out the video camera and, you know, I've taken classes where you've been videotaped under the water, above the water, and they're under the water. And you're like, no way. Yeah. Is that what my hand is doing under the water? That's why I'm so slow. Cause you're, you know, like my hands went all the way down. Almost looks like I'm like trying to touch the bottom of the pool, which is not a great swim stroke. But I would never know that unless somebody was in the water and filming my stroke under the water.
Right.
And that's exactly what I'm talking about with making emotional and mental health changes by looking at our behavior patterns. It's right. You need someone else in your life looking at you going, do you see what you're doing? And now I'm going to talk about other ways that you can help yourself, but I think that that's the gold standard. So the gold standard is you're a swim coach on the deck looking at your clients. I'm a life coach that's kind of in your head or the therapist that's in your head. And I'm looking at you and I'm saying, do you see that every time you say this, you do this? Every time that this comes up, you talk about this over and over. Do you see? And I can see, and even though most of my practice today because of COVID is online, people have not gone back to in person. So it's digital. I still can see, you know, their body language. I can still see the look on their face. I can hear the tone in their voice. And they're like, no, I don't notice that. Well, I'm noticing that this is what you're doing. And, you know, you did this years ago and here it is coming up again. They're like, oh, yeah, I guess I am doing that.
I mean, that's your version of using a video camera.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You're being able to create the video in their head where they like, oh yeah, I do see that. Now that you say that, I do see that. I do remember that.
And it's okay. This is not about, of course, again, it's not about judgment. It's okay. So don't be afraid of walking into a relationship with a professional to have them. Hopefully you're with somebody, if you're interested in this work, who will point that out for you as they get to know you. It's all for you to just observe in a non-judgmental attitude yourself and how you show up in life. How do you show up? How do you act? How do you react? Do you respond? Do you react? How do you behave? What's the look on your face? What's your body language? What are you thinking in your mind? When that happens, well, here's the truth. This is what I think. And this is what I'm telling myself. okay, yeah, we can work with that.
Yeah.
You can change that.
And there's a level of earned trust.
Yeah.
Right. Where yeah. it's like you've developed a relationship with your client or your athlete or whatever the arena is, but you've earned the right to point things out because they trust you.
Because I trust you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're credible. So I think you have credibility, Tim, because you're what, level two US, you're a high level swim coach and people know that. So you're credible. And in getting to know you and seeing how you operate, and we're talking specifically about you as a swim coach, they know you have the goods, you've got the training, but you also have the life experience for being a triathlete yourself. And now I've spent how many thousands of hours on pool decks watching people swim and correcting strokes. Mm-hmm. And same, like more than, oh my gosh, I've been doing this almost three decades. So it's many more than 10,000 hours. They say 10,000 hours is the hallmark to when you really are like a professional, an expert. So it's many more than 10,000 hours. Cause I'm not as young as I may look.
Well, I started coaching when I was seven.
So when I was 12. Yeah.
I was younger.
Yeah. So, you know, people know that they come to me, of course, they know like, oh, she's got credibility. She's got the education, the knowledge, knows the science, but it's also the relationship.
Yeah. You've taken time to work with that person, right? That client of yours. And it's like, you've developed this means of communication. They feel safe. Yes. It's a safe space for them.
Right.
They're comfortable and they trust you.
And they trust you.
Yeah.
Know, like, and trust. And I think that, you know, all this to say when it comes to, you know, whether it be you're looking for a therapist because you have some deeper dives that you need to do, or you're looking for a coach, at the end of the day, and we know this and research has proven this, and my 20 years of being in my brick and mortar office, I think one client actually came over and was looking at my diplomas and like my certs on the wall. I think one, maybe two. I remember one in particular because it was like in 2015 or 16, so it was a little bit later. All those years, I, you know, got them framed and I was so proud of them. No one looked at them, and they saw them on the wall, but no one looked at them. Nobody ever wanted to see my licensing, and no one even asked about my education. It's the relationship. It's the relationship with that person. That's what they cared about.
Yeah.
So
I think those letters behind your name and the paperwork and the certs, all of that stuff, I think that opens the first door for all of us.
Right.
Right. That opens the first door, but it's then what do we do once we open that door?
Right.
Are we walking through it? Are we slamming it shut behind us? Or what are we doing? Right.
I mean, we all went to a graduate school and then many people went on to get their PhDs, their PsyDs, but we all went to graduate school. So everybody really that has their master's in counseling and the different, you know, the subsects of social work, clinical social work, professional counselors, someone licensed clinical professional counselors. You've got, like I said, PsyDs, you got PhDs. We all have the schooling. And you can go to see an MD psychiatrist, and some of them, not a lot, but some of them also do psychotherapy. And you can sit there and they can have all the knowledge in the world, and you can get up, you can know in 10 minutes, like, yep, not going to happen. Not coming back.
Not a good
you
fit.
You know, I've done that. Yeah. You know, I've done that. Like, no. And I've had coaches. I'm like, yeah, life coach, not a good fit for me. Yeah. Don't want to work with that person. And everybody has had the knowledge and had the expertise, but something about their personality, we just didn't gel. There's somebody like, I didn't want to show up every week, and no offense to them, they just weren't a fit for me. I didn't want to talk to them. I wasn't going,
well, it's their,
they weren't going to meet my needs.
Yeah. It's their bedside manner, which is that translates to and every profession,
like, but feeling like they get you. Yeah.
Yeah.
But feeling like they get you,
yeah.
Like they get me.
Yeah.
I want to talk to them. I think I want to develop a relationship with them. I'm really comfortable. I feel safe. I feel like there's empathy here. That's what I personally am looking for. And for them to pay attention and to be curious about my life. I want you to be curious about my life. If I'm paying you out of pocket as a therapist and a coach, and coaches are very expensive and it's total investment in time and money for me, I love it. I'm going to continue to do it. But I want you to be curious about me and my life. And I want you to question me. I want you to question why I do what I do. I want you to ask thought-provoking questions that take me beyond the surface of what I do on my own. I want you to get in there with me. That's where you grow.
Yeah.
So, and many times, that's not a diploma or a certification on the wall.
I think almost every time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, because if you don't know, you don't ask those questions, how can you define what the goals are? And if you have no goals, then how do you define success?
Yeah.
Right? Like, how does that work? I don't know how that works.
You know, and as a, my job as the professional is to give you my undivided time and attention, but I've got to give you my undivided attention. And I want to, I'm putting myself in your shoes. I want to look at your life through your lens. And at the same time, I'm the outside.
Yeah.
So I am really, that's why it's so, so important to, and you all can't know this, but you know, for all the professionals out there who are listening to this, it's so important that you are taking care of yourself, that you're in your own therapy, that you have your own coaching going on, that, you know, maybe you need spiritual, you need to meet with a spiritual person, like work on getting right with yourself, because you got to do that work in order to show up for your clients. You gotta, you know, you gotta, you don't have to be perfect. There's no perfection. You can be fractured. You can be, we're all flawed. You can be in going through a hard time, but make sure that you have someone who's there for you. Cause then you've got all these people who are seeing that are coming to you for your knowledge, your expertise, your empathy, and you got to be there for them. And you got to give them your undivided attention and go into their world.
Yeah.
And help them look around, take a look around and see what's going on and ask those questions. So if you're a professional listening to this, do your due diligence, take responsibility and get that help if you're not getting it. If you're not, start doing the homework to find somebody for you, okay? That's really important.
Yeah. I mean, and in what we're talking about today, I mean, just think about it. Like if you trust that person and they're the ones that are bringing this to your attention, right? Like, hey, do you know that you do fill in the blank every time you fill in the blank?
Right.
Then it's like, because of all the other things that we just talked about, the education and the earning the trust and the time and the questions, you will be very quick to listen to that person.
Right.
And hopefully respond and act on it and change.
And I have to add this into that. We are talking about seeking professional assistance and help, you know, and you doing your own, I say it's soul work. I really do believe it's the deep soul work of life. And at the same time, I also acknowledge that there are people who just can't afford it right now. You know, times are hard. There are community mental health centers where all over this country, all over North America, where you can see some really good therapists on a sliding fee scale, you know, and I have talked about it before that, you know, you can see, and even some of these interns, now they will leave after the school year because the graduate interns, you get them for 9 months and they have supervision. So they're talking to their supervisor about their work they're doing with you. They can be free or like low cost, like $10 a session. So, you know, that's something to look into. You know, don't knock the community mental health centers because they really do offer some really good therapy. And this is more therapy. Coaching is a different animal, but you can also find coaches who are new to the coaching space, and they will offer free coaching or very low cost coaching. I know because in the coaching Facebook groups, I'm in several that there are a lot of new coaches in there, and they're willing to coach you for free. Because they also need their hours, many of them who are going for certifications. So I want to put it out there. I mean, you can Google it. You can find people in your community or even online because coaching is online. You can find people who will do this with you, low cost or free.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's important.
Yeah.
All right. So let's say you're not the point. Maybe you've done some of this work. You're like, I don't really need to see a therapist right now. And I don't need to see a coach or I'm not doing that. I don't have the time in my life right now. But you're interested in making behavior change. Here are some ways that you can start. So number one, self-reflection. And we've been talking about this entire time. You know, take some time to reflect on what trips you up in life, what makes you mad, what makes you sad, what puts you in a bad mood, who are the people that you seem to feel this way around. I mean, and this is the importance of journaling or writing it down. Write this down. And go back and read your notes, read your journal entries. You're going to start to notice patterns of, you know, every time I go to that pickleball court, it's the same competitive women and I get snarky with them. I get like, I turn into like a smart ass and I don't like the way I am, but they're competitive and I don't like it. It's just more than I want it to be. And I like to be competitive too. So maybe it's them, maybe it's you. But when you're journaling, you'll start to see a little bit more about it. What's important is that you start to see, this is how I am. Yeah, I am this way. So take some time in your self-reflection. I think journaling or writing about it is a wonderful way to see your patterns come out and just be quiet with it. Just be quiet. Observe yourself. Get curious about how you show up in life in certain situations, okay? You know, I think it's a massive, massive deal even to get to the point of observing that I get snarky.
Yeah.
I do. I notice that I say things I normally wouldn't. I don't talk like that around my family members, my best friends. I'm not like that at work. But around these people, it's a part of me I don't like. I don't like seeing this part of me come out. Okay. Step one, you've gotten through it. Wonderful. You did it. Okay.
So you're aware. Have you acknowledged it yet, or you're just to the point of being aware of it?
You're aware and you're acknowledging.
You're acknowledging your behavior. Okay.
Yeah, you're acknowledging that you change.
Okay.
And next step, think about how it feels in your body. So this is the somatic work. Like, let's use the pickleball example. You show up to pickleball and I notice that, like, I feel tight. Like my shoulders are tight. Like I feel tense. Yeah. If I really think about it, or maybe you can't say right now, when you go to your next pickleball game, just pay attention to your body. Just pay attention to how do I feel? Has my stomach, has my shoulders, my neck? Am I, you know, how am I in my face? Is my jaw tight? How do I feel? How do I feel my legs? Like, observe your bodily sensations. That's going to tell you something.
And you can use that. I mean, it doesn't have to be pickleball.
That's the example I'm using, but...
Right, but I mean, it could be a meeting. It could be like
every time I go in the lunchroom at work.
Yeah.
I go in 3 days a week. Every time I go in the lunchroom, everybody's in there.
You're like, ah.
And I, truth be told, after doing this work, I don't want to go in there because I don't like these people. They talk about the boss all the time. And it turns into like, yeah, we start talking about the weekend. And next thing you know, we're talking about work and they're talking about the boss and they're ripping on, like, you know, Cindy from accounting. And it my stomach bothers me. That's because you have anxiety. Right. Because truth be told, it's really not good for you to be around that energy. Your body is cueing you all the time. I had Veronica Rotman on. That was two or three episodes back. If you haven't listened to that one, she's an expert in somatic healing. And she talks all about where stress, anxiety, trauma for some people shows up in the body. You know, so that's an exercise in and of itself. Just pay attention to how you feel in your body in certain situations with people.
Right.
Okay. So I talked about journaling and I talked about getting feedback from others. I think it's important to really, you know, educate yourself on some of the common detrimental behavior patterns that most of us engage in. Number one, it's going to be negative self-talk. So many of us talk shit to ourselves. You know, we have this inner monologue that's really mean. You would never talk to others the way you talk to yourself. So think about, you know, situations that you get into where you behave a certain way and then you get in the car and you start ripping on yourself. Speaking of Sean Hayes, I was listening to him. They were interviewing Jon Bon Jovi about his new documentary that came out. And Sean Hayes and Jon Bon Jovi were talking about that personality hangover, which I thought was so, I love that term and I'm going to steal it from both of them, about when you've been in a cocktail party or you've been in a social event or, you know, you were at a class and then you leave and you're like beating yourself up. Like, why did I say that? Why did I act this way? You're so stupid. You're so dumb. No one cares. Why did you offer that? You overshared. Oh, you're being attention seeking. You made a fool out of yourself. That's all negative self-talk. And it is so mean. Because no one's really talking about you like that behind your back. You're doing it for yourself. Right. You're doing it enough for 30 people.
Right.
Right.
And you should be your biggest fan.
Right. 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 So that's another one. Another behavior pattern that you may find you get yourself into is avoidance, where you just avoid people. You avoid situations, and sometimes it's good to not go to things, because we talked about in other episodes taking care of one's mental health. But if you're avoiding a situation because you have negative behavior patterns, it's important just to see that I'm avoiding this. It's just the acknowledgement. Yeah, I'm avoiding it. because I don't want to deal with it. That's not always great either. Sometimes it's okay to avoid. Sometimes it's not good to avoid. Sometimes you have to face what it is that you're avoiding.
Right.
Okay. Perfectionism is another one that, you know, this unhealthy behavior pattern for me is perfectionism. I want everything to be perfect. And if it's not perfect, then I will start ripping on myself. I start, you know, projecting anger and frustration on the people that I love and care about, but I treat them like crap because of my perfectionistic tendencies. That's an unhealthy behavior pattern.
And it's also impossible.
But when you're perfectionistic, when I have perfectionistic tendencies and you know, and you can hear from people that it's impossible and it's like, yeah, I know that. But what happens is in the moment you go right back to it.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. So with my client at the beginning of this episode, I was talking about, she said to me, remind me if I ever do this again in the future. And I said, okay, I will. I mean, that was, you know, almost a year ago, but here it is 9 months later, she's in this relationship and it's showing up and I don't know if she would have seen it for herself. And I said, you're in a pattern repeat. And, you know, that was so helpful to her. Sometimes when we're in the moment, we can't see that you're in a pattern repeat of trying to be perfectionistic here. Because what happens is we're trying to be perfect. If it's not perfect, we just don't do it at all. That's what happens, right? So especially, you know, like high achievers, this is the coaching clients. So I coach this. You want to be perfect. So if it's not going to be perfect, it's like, oh, F it. I'm just not doing it. Wait, you just did. Now we're getting into thought distortion. So it's black or white. You have to be black or white. It has to be all or nothing, right? No, it doesn't. There can be gray. And that's what we talk about failing forward. You can fail forward.
Right.
Just, it's okay. It's okay to falter. It's okay to get knocked down. Pick yourself up, you know, wipe the dirt, the dust off from your knees and off your hands and keep going. There's no perfection. How many people, look, what's that famous quote by Michael Jordan? All the shots he missed. You know, he talked about, you know, all the shots that I missed, all the games he lost. Michael Jordan is arguably the best NBA basketball player of all time. And how many games did we were a huge Bulls fan during the years that they were great.
I mean, they got beat down.
How many games did he lose?
Oh, I mean, at the beginning of his career, that's what they did.
Right.
I mean, it took a while to kind of get going and then they had to put the pieces around him.
They still lost. How many shots did Michael Jordan miss? We love Caitlin Clark. We love her. And she's known for shooting from half court, you know.
Logo threes.
Yeah. And how many did she miss? How many does she miss?
Yeah.
She misses quite a few.
Yeah.
But she's great. And she's not perfect.
Right.
So if that's a behavior pattern that you have in yourself, it would behoove you to really look at that. So I'm going to say, number one, reflect on this. Become aware of your behavior patterns. That alone can take you quite a bit of time, but you got to be dialed into it. You can do it. Journal about it. Journaling is going to help you. Seek outside opinions from others that you care about that really are your, you know, they're in your corner. They're there for you. Ask them, you know, do you see when I get stressed out, how do I seem to be coping? What do I act like? What do I look like? And if you really want to go, you know, all the way with it, get professional help. You know, seek out help with a therapist, especially if you've got some trauma that comes up, you've got some early childhood, younger years stuff that comes up and, you know, why you have these negative behavior patterns that are showing up in your life in the present day. If you've got some old work you got to do, that's psychotherapy because a coach is not trained in that. And if you've got a smidge of the past, but really it's more of like present day issues and I'm doing this and I don't think it's got anything to do with my relationship with my mother. So I don't need to spend, you know, session after session talking about, you know, the trauma, or I've been in therapy and I've dealt with my trauma, but I still get really defensive and snarky with people. That's coaching. And you can do a lot of work around that with a coach. Okay. So all this to say, this is the deep dive work. I believe it's soul work. It's such important work. If you want to improve your life, move into a place of increased contentment, peace, and have those moments of joy, do this personal development work. It's really important.
Dig deeper.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you're watching on YouTube, thanks for watching. As always, please don't forget to subscribe, rate with 5 stars, and review the podcast. Just give us a sentence or two. Makes all the difference in the world. And like I always say, if you want to work with me, email me hello@annamarcolin.com. I have some slots open. Let's get on a call and see if I would be a good fit for you. Okay. Mad love, everyone. Have a great week.
All right.
Thanks for joining me on the Badass Confidence Coach podcast. Remember, you're capable of so much more than you think. If you're ready to step into your power and take control of your life, it's time to make that change. If you want to work with me as your personal life coach, email me. You'll find that down below in the show notes. Together, let's unlock your full potential. Until next time, stay confident and keep kicking ass.